Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me a secret. I don't just want to know about any secret.
Welcome to One Love, One Connection, One Us. I am Reverend Harvey L. Bailey with my partner,
Reverend Arlene Cahet. So,
and
how are you
today,
doing this evening, Harvey?
I'm doing great, Arlene. How about yourself?
I'm feeling really, really, really good. And I'm really looking forward to the subject matter that we're going to be talking about tonight.
So am I. Because tonight, we're veering slightly off our normal course, where we talk about love and how to communicate and how to be a better partner. Today, we're going to talk about how to have a stronger financial relationship. That's right. Today, we've got special guest, Mr. Financial Advisor Wayne Wilkins, and our financial coach and accountant, Jermaine Bailey. And they're going to be answering all of your financial questions. They're also going to be helping us with our financial questions. So, Arlene, are you ready to get started with this?
Yes, I'm absolutely ready, whenever you are.
Well, let's get started. Wayne,
okay.
Jermaine, are y'all with
yes.
us?
Yes, we're with you.
All right. So I'm going to throw out the first pitch here, and to all of our listeners, let me just say this. If you have a question that you've been waiting all week to ask, go ahead and press 1 on your phone to let us know that you want to get in on the conversation. But I'm going to start it off. For you guys, let's say I am a newlywed, middle-aged newlywed. I waited a while, and now I'm going to, after spending 30, 40 years dealing with just me and my money, I'm going to come together with someone else, and we're going to have to mix our monies together. What would be the best suggestion or best way of handling that? Either of you can answer.
I'll just say I'm Jermaine, and I'm with Greater Financial Solutions, a debt coach. I'll just say, particularly when you first come together with someone to put your money together, the main key is communicating. Once you start communicating and relating to your money, it gives your whole life another turn that you wouldn't even imagine. Your relationship becomes so much better and closer by just communicating about the money. You all bring your two accounts together as one.
Mm. Okay.
Well, I would. This is Wayne Wilkins, financial advisor. Basically, I would have a come to Jesus meeting. Pretty much, let's have confession time. Let's lay it all out, and get it out there in the open. Let's expose our debts. Let's expose our expenses. Our hobbies. You know, some people have expensive hobbies. And I would figure out exactly how much money is coming in and work towards a goal of getting your income or your expenses well within your means, hopefully low enough that it can be supported by one salary, which would put you in a position where you could possibly make some serious headway with your finances. If you have those debts, you want to get those debts out of the way as soon as you can, obviously. You want to have yourself an emergency account for any other future unforeseen circumstances that may arise, as well as you want to definitely start planning for your retirement and maybe other goals, maybe possibly, you know, children. If you're a middle-aged person who's looking to have children, but hopefully you do all of these things prior to saying I do.
Okay.
That would be the ultimate. Focus on your marriage versus getting married. Don't go in debt behind a party and a celebration.
Well, what about
a big wedding?
That's what I'm saying. Focus on the marriage versus getting married. See, the problem
okay,
is...
Okay, because you know people spend $50,000, $60,000 on the wedding alone.
And that's why those marriages are usually short-lived. One says, you wanted all that sort of thing. You wanted the hoopla and the party. And the other says, I didn't. And one feels one should pay for it, and the other one feels that they shouldn't. And so the other one says, well, you got married too, you know. And so therefore, that's the first mountain that you have to get over before you can, you know, become Paul.
Okay. All right. I like the biblical reference. Okay. Go ahead,
I would like to ask one question in reference to that. I guess what part of the dating phase would you say, or the relationship phase, would you say that you begin to have that particular come-to-Jesus conversation?
I think that conversation needs to come before we even start talking about the potential of nuptials. What are your goals for the future? What are your plans? At some point, someone usually springs forward and brings that conversation out after they've been dating a while, after they spend much time together in the courtship, you know, and they're real serious about it. I mean, it's you know, about getting married. I mean, it's more than just the ring and the party. You're having a merger take place here. And any business, if you've studied any business mergers, it's a series of meetings that usually take place. How is this going to be done? What are we going to pay for this company? I mean, and essentially that's what you're doing when you're talking mm-hmm. about marrying someone. You're merging, and in more ways than one. And a lot of people don't sit down and consider that this is what this is all about. So therefore, if we're going to merge, and no one goes into business buying a lame duck. I mean, let's face it. There's got to be some value there. And I'm not saying that you should just, you know, of course, I mean, I'm talking, obviously, you should love the individual. Okay, this is beyond that. We've already established that. But we got to have the same value system and be on the same accord.
Wayne, I actually love that because I teach a 5-step program to a better relationship, starting off with loving yourself, moving through, you know, getting to know other people, getting into dating, getting into actually being in a committed relationship, you know, then the pre-marriage stage, which is the, and I'm putting up the quote signs because I don't believe in girlfriend, boyfriend, but, you know, that's the premarital stage where you plan marriage, and then going on to marriage. And a lot of what you're saying and treating it like a business is what I talk about. But Jermaine, I want to bring it back over to you. You said about having conversations, and it's two-part for you, because one, I want to kind of go back to what Arlene asked Wayne about, at what point would you have the conversations, but how would that look? What kind of conversations would you have around money? Because, you know, if we're together and we're talking money, it could be a lot like Wayne saying, you know, you may want this big wedding because it's what you always dreamed of since you was a little girl and all your girlfriends had it, and I might be a cheap, miserly, you know, kind of guy who's pinching my pennies, and when Christmas comes, I'm like Scrooge, bah humbug. It's just the merchant's way of stealing my loot. So what do you say, Jermaine?
I just say that even when you think about getting together, like Wayne said, before you start to think about getting married, you have to sit down and compromise. Compromise is in being with another person. When you relate to another person, you have to compromise. You can't always have your way of what you thought as a kid. You're now an adult. You have to think in an adult way. So you and this other person have to come together as one. Not to say that it's always going to be easy just to compromise, because sometimes you should have your way and sometimes they should have their way. But all in all, it should be a compromise to say we are doing this together so that we can prosper together. So as long as we have goals, and you can make the person see, if I want a big wedding, you can make me see, well, we don't have to have this big old wedding. We can take the rest of this money and get your dream house, or we can take the rest of this money and have a dream trip or something once we get our goals in order. Pay down the debt, pay off the debt, and be debt-free. So that's the main idea, is to pay your debts and get out of debt so that you can have the money to compromise and communicate and relate to it the way that you need to, so that y'all can live a better life together.
At what stage in the relationship would you do that, though? You know, is that when we first meet, do we talk about that? Is that after we've dated for a while, after, you know, the proposal and the agreement that we're going to get married? Or is it like a year after we're married and then we turn around and say, you know what, we need to work on some things?
Well, yeah, I would, let me just jump. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jermaine.
No,
I'm sorry. No, well, no, for me, I would.
Okay.
We want to be polite.
Go ahead, Jermaine.
Go ahead, Jermaine.
Okay, well, like Wayne was saying, you would have that conversation before you decide to get married, because if you're not, or if you can't come to an agreement on your goals about money, you may need to rethink whether or not you want to go into, as you all say, a business deal with this individual, because maybe that's just not going to work, or maybe it'll take time to get to where each one can relate to each other about it. But you definitely should have that conversation before you get married. Some people might be in the beginning of the relationship. Some people might be in the middle. I think it depends on the relationship itself between the two people.
Okay. And Wayne?
I would think when you're having those nice romantic conversations, and those romantic dinners, and you're having a good time, and you're enjoying, you're talking about what it would be like if you were my wife, and if you're talking to him about what it would be like if he were your husband, would you want to have kids, would you wouldn't want to have, all this speculative talk, I think that is the ideal time when you're starting to have those type of conversations. And you have to bring that stuff up, because the reality of it is we want to have success. You want to have a marriage that works. And one of the key ingredients is, hey, you got to expose yourself. And if you are in a rough shape financially, hey, this is part of the goal. I mean, it should be right in the goal, right in line with going out here looking for the right ring and buying a home and all that other sort of thing. You got to understand that, you know, before you get the show on the road, as it were.
Okay.
Yeah, but again, I think it depends on the two people that's in the relationship, because some people start off deep. Some people don't get deep until the middle. Some people don't get deep until later on towards moving towards getting married, because that might, somewhere along the line, they might decide, oh, this is not the person I want to be with, so why am I going to have that conversation with that person? So I think it just depends on the two individuals in the relationship and if they decide to go that far with each other.
Okay. All right. Marlene, you got anything you want to ask?
Okay. So let's put out a scenario where you already have a situation where they've had that discussion. Maybe, you know, she has $30,000 worth of debt because of student loans. And he has, you know, it turned out that he was hit with a hard financial, with a large sum of money, and he did not pay the taxes on it. So what would be the steps for a couple like we're not really even including credit card debt. Let's just say maybe about $6,000 worth of credit card debt between the two of them. What are the steps that they would need to take in order to get to that place of financial freedom?
Well, like I said, it all goes back to goals. All right, the goal obviously I would not recommend anyone enter into a marriage with that much debt over their head, because it's going to cause a lot of unnecessary pressure. Mm-hmm. And also, too, again, it's like Jermaine said earlier, it's about the communication. It's about, you know, laying it out on the table, letting us know what's ahead of us and what we should get rid of in order to have a successful marriage. A lot of times people get impatient, and they want to just leap out there and say, well, we'll work it out and love will overcome that. But let's be honest. You know, what's going to happen is that's going to affect their relationship in some way, and it's going to create a lot of unnecessary pressure. So that's the first thing. They should set a goal to get rid of that. It's amazing that people, to this day, this summer, they are actually making plans. They're setting goals, and everything they want to do, they plan. They can tell you how much the airplane tickets cost. They can tell you how many miles they're traveling. They'll tell you how much the room costs per night, including taxes. They'll tell you about the meals. They know all those details, but they cannot give you a detail on a financial independence number. They cannot tell you what will it take to get themselves out of debt so that they can enter into a marriage debt-free and they can focus on what's important, like putting aside emergency savings, putting aside money for retirement, having money for their children's college education, owning the right type of life insurance, which is very important in case, you know, which is amazing that people will sign their name to all these different pieces of paper to buy a home and all this other stuff, but it never once dawned on them if that other individual, their partner in this deal, were to pass away, all that financial responsibility dumps on the other half. And then most people don't know they should have 10 times their annual income in terms of coverage on their life. So these are things that, you know, need to be laid out. And what I would recommend is to sit down. You know, based on in today's world, it wasn't always that way, but your creditor has to outline how long it's going to take to pay off your debt based on the interest rate you're paying and the payment that you're paying. That was something you enacted under President Obama's first term. So you see that, and you need to get with a person such as myself or Jermaine, and you need to probably pay at least three times what you're actually required to pay to set a goal to collapse the time frame to get out of debt a lot faster. Okay. Then the next thing, once you do that, then we're off to the next deal. What is it going to take? How much money is it going to require for you and your new spouse to set up your living arrangements? Okay, what is it going to cost? I mean, how can you all live on one salary? How much money would that take to live on one salary and bank the entire other salary and put that money in the right to good use?
Okay.
So, I mean, that's something that to answer your question, again, I go back to the plan, you know, paying that off first. If you truly love each other, your love can withstand a little extra time to make sure that you would not get under some sort of pressure that would put you in a position that you wouldn't want to be in, to say things you wouldn't want to say and do things you probably wouldn't normally do. And let's be honest, a lot of this debt is acquired because most people have a poor self-image. They think they're going to buy these things, get these things, and they're going to feel better about who they are. And someone's going to give them a compliment saying, ooh, we know who's got the money. Ooh, you look good. Ooh, that's wonderful. But the reality of it is at the end of the day, the compliment is stale. Probably wasn't even real in the first place. People just say things just to have something to say. Mm-hmm. And you're stuck with the debt. You know, you're sitting there with garbage all over your face looking like who did what. You know, and you got to pay it.
Wow. And Wayne, I'm going to stop you right there because I like what you said, because it actually takes me to something that I want to ask both of you. But we're going to take a break for just a minute. And when we come back, I'm going to ask you about what you said about the reasons why people get into debt and having that low self-esteem right after this.
Join us here on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul. Every Sunday, we start your week off right with the delightful Deletta Gillespie and Updraft. It is always an educational and informational show. Tune in on Mondays for Totally Whole with Pastor Bridget and Pastor Cook as they give you the word. Tune in on Tuesday with world-famous DJ Davey D as he plays all of your old-school favorites in R&B, hip-hop, jazz, house, and rap. Join us every Thursday where there's something different. The first Thursday of the month, ladies, is for you. Total Empowerment with the owner of Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa, Angela Hardy. On the second Thursday of the month, join relationship coaches Reverend Arlene Cahet and Reverend Harvey L. Bailey on One Love, One Connection, One Us as they answer all of your relationship questions. on the third Thursday of the month. Men, it's time to man up with our own Sacred Masculine, Reverend Jamel Gilliam and the Sacred Masculine Show. On the fourth Thursday of the month, join me, Reverend Harvey L. Bailey, in the Inner Consciousness as I talk about self-help. When we have a fifth Thursday of the month, you can join Reverend Arlene Cahet with the Healing Paradigms, right here on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul every week.
Okay, so now we're back, and what I want to ask is this, particularly for minorities and African Americans in particular, but for everyone who finds themselves in debt, how do we get there? Wayne, you mentioned that a lot of people do it because of self-esteem issues, and you know they want someone to compliment them, and someone throws out some vague blanket compliment that they really don't necessarily mean, or they don't care, but how do we do this to ourselves? How do we get to become adults and we find ourselves in debt?
Well, again, you know, I'm a person that likes to start from the beginning versus in the middle or at the end and all that sort of thing. You can trace this back to slavery. You know, I mean, it goes back that far. I mean, we don't understand the concept of marriage, and I understand you've talked about that in previous shows, so I won't go too far into that. But when you move forward, self-esteem, a lot of time, it has to do with that, because our society tells us that we should have a certain image, you know, or, you know, we're bombarded by commercials. And I understand, you know, businesses, they have a product, they have to sell, but you have to use proper judgment. I mean, you know, a lot of times people will spend money on things that they never really give them much thought about, you know, how can I use this or do I need it at all? You know, I mean, how many times have people bought something and they got home and looked at it and said, you know what, I don't really even like this, you know? Mm-hmm. Or how many times have you gone to a restaurant, spent your money on a meal and got sick? You know, it's the same concept.
It's not happened to me, but I know someone who it's happened to.
Yeah, exactly, and all because someone said that you should go there. I mean, but the point is that it happens because, again, we have not defined who we are and what makes us happy. And a lot of times it all boils down to being an independent thinker in terms of that. Now, one could say, well, you know what, then that can also be applied to me going out, getting a ton of debt, getting what I want. Who knows, I could be dead tomorrow, but more than likely you won't be dead tomorrow. More than likely you'll be here in misery tomorrow. So, you know, I just, you know, I'm a straight shooter. I don't believe in see, as a friend, when I sit with my clients, a friend tells you what you need to know versus what you want to hear. And the reality of it is that what a lot of people need to hear is some of the things that they want to spend. Like when they get married, you won't believe it. One of the biggest expenses of getting married is when you go out and you buy stationery. I mean, you buy a program. And if you've ever been to a wedding and you, at the end of the ceremony, you see all those programs, they're in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
All
yeah,
the guy didn't
right.
say is, I do, bam, everybody kiss, it's over, right? And you walk out, I promise you that's about $2,000 right there. Easy. Okay? So we start in the beginning. Let's start there. Then we start talking about things like, you know, centerpiece arrangements. Very expensive stuff. Okay? Some of these places, you know, that you have some of these weddings, you could possibly do everything in one shot on the premises. I mean, you really need to go. I mean, some people want to do it in the church, and that's all well and good. But if you can't go downstairs in the basement, or if your church doesn't have a reception area that can be included in a package, in a reasonable package, you know, I mean, let's be honest. Let's use our good sense here. You may need to find a establishment that's much more affordable and do everything in one spot, and work your way back. I mean, because when it's all over, it's all said and done, you're going to be there. You have to deal with your partner.
So you're saying it's not worth it to get that dream wedding that you always wanted to have, to get that big room and, you know, invite 2,000 people to come out, and it's not worth it to have all that?
At the end, all you're going to have is pictures of you, your groomsmen, bridesmaids, and the preacher, right?
And the bill.
Take those pictures and tell them what a wonderful day it was. No one's going to remember. The people who are still living won't remember, and the other half will probably be dead 10 years from now. So, I mean, and that sounds kind of cynical, but the reality of it is that's what happens. And, you know, but again, going back to the original question to bring it full circle, you're asking me how do people get in a situation where they have that poor self-esteem? A lot of it has to deal with the way they were raised. You know, a lot of times people come from humble beginnings and they say, hey, I was raised like this as a child, but doggone it, I'm going to live the good life. And that's fine. You can live a better life than the way you were raised. All I'm saying to you is that let's be reasonable.
Okay. Jermaine, anything you want to add?
Yeah, I would like to just add, I think that a lot of times that we have to learn to change our mindset about money and our right now. We have to stop wanting right now gratification and look down the line to a better future. What happens when we retire and we look up and we have no money because we spent it all getting married and getting new cars and new houses, furnishing the houses and paying for stuff that we really just don't need? If we just change our mindset about money and our right now gratification, I think we will be better prepared for our future, because we will see that once you stop working, you will need a way of life. So, and I hope, I think a lot of people counting on Social Security or the government to take care of them, and that's no way of life. You have to depend on your own self to do it for yourself. They're not really thinking about you and your retirement or your future. So I just wanted to add that, because if we can get rid of the right now gratification, then I think our mindsets will shift to living a better lifestyle.
All right.
Okay, well then, what are the ways in which people can improve their financial understanding? I think that, you know, especially since, from my understanding, when it came to investments, that African Americans weren't really allowed to even, they were just being allowed to be able to actually make investments. So what can a person do to improve their financial education?
Well, we, in this day and era right now, we have access to cell phones, computers, and everything. And you can Google just about anything and everything. But I'm available. My office is located in Pikesville, Maryland. I'm at 1726 Reisterstown Road, suite number 215, telephone number 410-486-8867. And, you know, I have free consultations, and what I would do is a financial needs analysis of where they are and look at where they want to go, and we show them a clear roadmap on how to get there. That's one avenue. But if, you know, if a person wasn't local or anything like that, like I said, you've got access on in this technology age, and there was a time where we didn't have the technology we have now. In fact, there was a time where to have a mutual fund one time, you would have to have at least $30,000 to get one. Now you can get a mutual fund for $50 a month, you know. So the information is out there and it's available. It's just about seeking it. It's just like people seek out things that get them in trouble financially. They can also, like I said, seek out things that could help them. Like I said, people are taking vacations this summer. They know every detail of their trip. They don't know every detail of their money that way, though.
Right.
Okay. So let's say someone comes to you, and we'll start with Jermaine. Let's say someone comes to you you know, what would be the process that you go through with them?
The process I would go through with them is for them to fill out an assessment questionnaire so that we can get a picture of where they are and where they want to be. Once we do that, we will set up dates and times where we will meet once every other week, and then we will talk about how to get things started as far as like managing and controlling their money. And then every week we will progress on to getting closer to their goals.
Okay. And Wayne, you kind of covered your process. Let me ask you this on top of that, because you can reiterate the process. But someone comes to you and they are still in a lack consciousness, meaning that they come to you and they're not sure that you're going to be able to help them, and they're stuck in their old ways. They need an iPhone 6. They need a new car. You know, they need to spend $1,000 on clothes. They just need to be in that light. You know, they need to go out on Friday and Saturday nights. So how do you work with this person?
Well, you know, let's face it. I mean, first of all, I believe in talking to adults, grown people. Okay, and we're gonna hey come on, man. I mean, you know, I'm gonna speak.
Hope
very,
we didn't offend
very,
anybody out there listening.
I don't mean to offend anybody. Cause see, I believe people do what they want to do. Okay, I don't think there's any cant in the whole process. I think people do exactly what they want to do. So the reality of it is, you know, I would lay out. I wouldn't sugarcoat it. It's not that I'm a, you know, overly abrasive in terms of how to get them to understand that we've got to right the ship here. You know, we gotta get on course. And like I said, I would tell them before they show up, hey, you need to get together a few things. We need you to get together any 401k paperwork that you have if you are participating in your current retirement program. We need to have all your debts, including balances, payments, and interest rates. We need to know if you have any types of insurances, be it automobile and homeowners, as well as life insurance, and any other savings that you're dealing with. And then we go from there, and we look at where you are. We need pay stubs. We need to know how much your money is going into taxes, how much money is going into various other areas, so we can break down where your money's going. So once we decide and see where your money's going, then we know what we need to do. Where do we need to shift some of this other money? Maybe you've got some expenditures. You need to have all those available too, that maybe you need to put those on the back burner for a while. Like you said earlier, maybe you don't need that iPhone 6 that costs you $200 a month. I mean, that's,
but everybody
that's,
got
that's,
one. Of course I need it.
Yeah, well, I promise you. I'm not that old of a person, but there was life before the iPhone 6. and I promise you that if they take it from you, the rest of your organs and your body won't shut down and you die. I mean, it's not, you know, for some of these people, it's like taking their brain out of the back of their head and throwing it away.
Right.
You know, and see, this is the problem, Harvey. This is the problem. See, you have to understand something. It's psychological, because what happens is that, you know, your body is, especially your brain, is meant to do a certain function. And obviously people are not thinking correctly about a lot of these topics. So when you start applying all these apps to every phase of your life, you stop thinking. And when you stop doing something for a long period of time, you don't do it very well when you're put in a position where you must do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you don't think, when you don't
right.
think and you don't use those brain cells, and then you're in that, you're like that deer in the headlight, you know, everybody's doing it. You know, you got to forget status quo, okay? Status quo is overrated. You got to do what's best for you. You know, yeah, they got the bling and the iPhone 6 and the latest this and the latest whatever, but yet they are borrowing money. I mean,
mm-hmm.
from other people,
mm-hmm.
and they're robbing Peter to pay Paul, and it's ludicrous. I mean, you know, it's crazy, but that's what has gotten us there. We've become a society of people who have stopped thinking, and something pops up, it's the latest this, and we say, okay, sure, and we don't think, well, do we really need this? You know, how much time are you spending on the internet? Do you really need to carry a computer in your pocket all day long? You know, I mean, the only time I get on my computer is for business. You know, and that's it.
Well, how do you check all your status updates on your friends? You don't want to know when they checked into the donut shop or when they're at the mall eating breakfast. I mean, you don't want to miss all those status updates, right?
Hey, if I want to see something ugly, I watch reality TV. You know, if I want to see something ugly, well, anyway, we'll leave that alone. No, it's you know, again, you know, we have to, you know, a lot of things that we used to do in this country, we had it right the first time. Now, not with all things, but a lot of things. Like, for example, when people retired once upon a time, you know, they paid their houses off first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they not only did they pay their houses off, but as Jermaine said, they saved their money. They didn't rely just on Social Security; they had money saved, and that was even before 1982 when the IRA was created. Okay, so you know you got to be wise about these things. You got to live within your means. That is not a new concept. You know, and that's another thing. When you have these social media and these reality shows, people get caught up in that world, and they say, that's what I want to do, that's where I want to be. Well, if that's the case, then you got to find something you're passionate about it and pursue it from an entrepreneurial standpoint where you can put yourself in a position where you can make unlimited income. And when you're making unlimited income, in this society, we do have something called a capitalist society here where there's no law on how much money you can make at any given moment. You don't have to make $30 an hour. Or everybody's worrying about the new minimum wage. I mean, you're focused on raising the minimum wage. You should be focusing on earning unlimited income. And with that, you can find some financial independence. I mean, you know, and that's the key.
Okay. Well, actually, that kind of leads me into a question that I had. I mean, so would you say that one of the ways that you recommend that a person goes about building unlimited income is through a business, or what other than just doing a business, what else would you recommend?
Well, you know, again, and I'll be the first to say, not everybody is cut out to be a business person. But a lot of us have talents that we would do, something we would do for free if we could. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And some of those talents could be put to work for good use and as an entrepreneurial endeavor. So with that said, you know, a lot of people should maybe look within themselves to see who they are and where are they most creative and what could they do to impact the world. And with that said, I mean, and again, if that's not the case, then, hey, they possibly could earn more money. I mean, maybe there's a chance where they could make overtime where they work currently, or they may have to pursue additional income elsewhere, or maybe a career change or a job change altogether. That may be within their future. But the reality of it is you've always got to be in the hunt, and I talk about that with my people a lot, being in the hunt. Being in the hunt to go further, being in the hunt to get better, being in the hunt to expand, to grow. And if you're not growing, you're dying. And that's the reality of it. You got to always be you got to always have your eye on the sparrow, looking forward, looking forward to get over that mountain. And the reality of it is, if you're not trying, you're not going to get there.
All right. And Wayne, I appreciate the Beretta reference. For those of us old enough to remember, Veretta, keep your eye on Sparrow. But, Jermaine, I got a question for you. You know, Wayne mentioned earlier when we were talking about how you would help the people, that he would have them bring in all their financials, and then, you know, he'd look at what they have and see if they can reallocate some stuff. Now, I want to take it back to you, and I want you to go a little deeper than what you did, because you were kind of on the surface with us. So if someone comes to you, you know, and you're looking at their debt and you're seeing what they have more outgo than they have income. How would you coach them?
Well, hold on, Wayne.
I want this one for Jermaine. I want her to get in
on
this conversation.
I'm sorry.
I've been losing her in the shadows. I want to pull her out into the light.
Well, I would sit down and we would go through and we would try to go through each item. They would list each item where they spend money at during the week, the month, to see maybe they can cut back on going out to eat. Maybe they can cut back on spending money buying gifts or clothes, or maybe if it's just them, or even if they have a family, maybe they don't have to buy snacks for everybody. Maybe they could just cut back on the food bill some. Maybe they can cut back on their utilities some. It's always a way to cut back, because once you get in debt, to get out of debt, it's a sacrifice. So you have to sacrifice something to get ahead. And in order to do that, that means ultimately you will be cutting out something, because if you keep living the way you're living, you're going towards destruction. And if you were with me, you obviously came to that conclusion that this is not working, so I need a new way of thinking about it. And also, like Wayne said, if you got you might need to go out and get another job if you got more going out than what's coming in.
Okay.
Sometimes that's just what we have to do to make ends meet. Not forever, just for a period of time, just to get yourself grounded, just to get some things in order. And then, you know, maybe you can splurge a little bit. But until you get things under wraps, you need to break it down. Life, God gave us life to have it more abundantly, not to be suffering through debt. The borrowers, the slaves to the lenders. So he didn't provide that for us. He don't want that for us. So if we are spending money on debt frivolously, then we're not living the way he has it planned out for us to live. So we would just break down the debt and see the things that we can cut back on. Not necessarily cut out, not necessarily, because sometimes people don't do well if they don't have out. Maybe going out is a way of relaxing. Maybe they don't have to go out to a five-star restaurant. Maybe they can go to just Applebee's or something and get a little appetizer or something. Or,
there's,
you know,
a wonderful Scottish restaurant I know. It's almost everywhere. McDonald's.
Right. Right. You shouldn't see a restaurant at all until you get things straight. Because, I mean, that money, it may $5, $10 at McDonald's, that may seem small, but that's a lot if you need that money for gas to go back and forth to work, or you need that money to go towards food for the week. You can stop eating out and buy enough food at the grocery store and cook to last you for a week. A lot of people don't like to eat leftovers, but hey, I mean, at some point, like I said, you have to make a sacrifice in order to get ahead.
Okay. Okay.
All right. And Wayne, I know you wanted to get in there.
Well, no, I think Jermaine covered it a lot. I mean, we talked about the $200 a month cell phone bill, but we also, as she said, you got to get designer coffee, $10 every day. Sometimes some people are so hooked on it, they're doing it twice a day. $10 a day, 30 days in a month. I mean, what do you have there? How much money is that? So between your cell phone and your coffee addiction, you're looking at about $500, right?
Yep, that's right.
So that, you know, usually those two right there, if I go after those, and people are like, you know, they're acting like this is you know, going to rehab or something, you know. I mean, and again, not to take a swipe at you know, because that's a very serious issue, one that's on the table for our president or the next incoming president. I mean, that's very serious business. But my point is, they've got to approach it like that, man. You got to say to yourself, I am a debt junkie. I am a financially in bondage junkie, and I need rehab. I mean, that's essentially what you're doing. You are coming off that addiction, mm-hmm. and it's not easy. Anybody you ever talk to has any type of addiction, breaking it is a hard process. You know, because they're worried about how are people going to see me? Am I falling off? Am I slipping? I'm not so glamorous anymore. I'm not so wonderful anymore. But the reality of it is, I think you'll look a lot more glamorous if your wallet is fat, you got plenty of money invested and saved, and you're not owing anybody anything but your love. And that's the key, mm-hmm. you know, especially to my Christian brothers and sisters. You know, we talk about stewardship. Stewardship isn't just not about you giving your 10%. It's also about taking care of what God has blessed you with. So if you're gonna preach the gospel, and you're gonna say that you're doing right, then guess what? You gotta take care of what you've been blessed with. If you've been blessed with a good income, a good opportunity to make money, either through your job or through your business or whatever the case may be, then you gotta look around and start being better with how you handle things.
All right.
Okay. So what would your recommend? Okay. So say for instance. You know, a person ends up with an inheritance of maybe like $60,000-$70,000, and in, you know, they were able to, they took at least part of that money and just went ahead and eliminated their debt. Say they'd had about $10,000 in debt and they just eliminated. What would your recommendations be for that person in order to take that money and grow it so that it could be something that could sustain them in their later years?
Okay, again, let's roll the tape back to the beginning. First of all, we got to look around and find our favorite uncle and see if we owe him something. Okay? All right, our favorite uncle who's a black sheep of all of our families, and you just wish he'd go away. We got to take care of him first, all right? Pay your tax off the top. And then after that, yes, get rid of your debt, because nobody has a higher interest rate than your favorite uncle, all right, with his fees and so forth. Then I would recommend, based on the person's there's a series of questions I would ask them to find out what is their risk tolerance. Are they conservative? Are they aggressive? Are they moderate? And then I would select the appropriate investment that would suit their needs. And also, too, I would look at things like other questions. We would look at timeline. When would they need to use the money? How much money are they currently earning would be another question that's very important. And, of course, there are other financial affairs. Do they currently own life insurance? You know, they need to have the – again, I go back to that because it's amazing that people think of life insurance as something that buries you. You know, you can get a pick and a shovel and bury somebody, okay? The big thing is what comes after the fact, all right? Most people, they need at least 10 times their annual income. If you take somebody who has an income of $70,000, they need at least $700,000 worth of life insurance. If you add up what they owe in their house and possibly some debts, and if they're raising kids, you're right there at $700,000 right there. And if they have someone depending upon them earning income, those responsibilities are going to shift to that person, be it their spouse or if they have underage children. So that's why all those things will come into play when you're talking about someone receiving an inheritance looking to invest that money. So those will be key questions that I would ask that individual in determining selecting an appropriate investment for them.
All right.
Okay.
Wayne, that was great. So now I want to ask some relationship questions. We are starting to come to the end of our show. We've got less than 20 minutes to go, actually less than 15 minutes to go. So I want to ask some relationship questions. Let's look at it from a single guy's perspective. So I'm a single guy, and I go out on dates. How should I budget that into, you know, how should I put that in my budget, basically? How should I budget that into my lifestyle?
Easy. First of all, it's amazing in this society, everything we do is around eating, okay? We don't meet mm-hmm. up to go for a walk. We don't meet up to go for a jog. We don't meet up to work out together. We don't meet up and take in a free concert, you know, or free fireworks somewhere. We don't do any of that. I mean, that's something that you could possibly do. And then, of course, if you have a, you know, it's okay to have a little dessert here and there or coffee or something like that. Or even lunch is definitely cheaper than dinner. You know, and breakfast can be cheaper than that. So, so you know, there's a ton of things you can do. But like I said, it's amazing. And, again, we can go in so many directions with this. But,
well, let's choose one. Let's hear the Frugal Brothers Guide to Successful Dating.
Well, that's hey, I just gave you a few, you know, and if you want to be real romantic, you can learn the same, you know.
The thing?
You can learn the same. You give your own private concert, you know, but if you're a terrible thing, it might cost you a night in jail. But other than that.
Alright, Jemaine, what you got for us?
Well, I was going to say the same thing like Wayne said. You can do free stuff. If not, you can just watch a movie. I mean, how much does that cost? Plus a little bit of electricity. I mean, you can take a ride. That may cost a little gas, but it's cheaper than you going out to a movie and dinner. I mean, just be creative with it. Just like Wayne said, sit in the parking, have a conversation. You might learn something about the other person. Everything you do don't have to cost money to have a good date.
Okay. Now, I'm going to put myself in the mindset of my listeners. What girl going to go out with me and have a good time if I ain't spending no money? They're going to like, this brother is cheap. So
hey,
how do we deal with that?
Easy.
Talk
doing
to them.
You a favor.
Tell them what you got. Doing you a favor.
It's default by elimination, right? I mean, you know, hey, you know, we have to. Our blessings sometimes come in disguises. These blessings come in disguises. I mean, because I tell you, I wish, you know. Well, anyway, the bottom line is we don't even recognize these blessings. I mean, it's not a question of being cheap. As a matter of fact, I think that really, you know, it's about being responsible. I think if people will stop texting and start talking, maybe they will mm-hmm. not make some of these critical mistakes that they've been making in terms of their relationships and with their money. You know, and once you start talking, you get to truly understand where individuals are coming from. And you know what? You might be better off as friends versus and start there, because
mm-hmm.
I don't think enough people start as friends first.
People start as friends. You know, people eye you up and down, and they see what they like, and then they create a whole fantasy in their mind. You know, whether it's I'm going to hit that or I'm going to marry that. You know, there's a whole fantasy, and then you operate off of that fantasy until that fantasy gets real.
How did the song go? It's just an illusion.
That's right.
It's just an illusion. And the reality of it is that you never became friends. It was an opportunity, mm-hmm. as you said. It's you know, again, they're seizing the moment. But, you know, once you don't become, I don't think really you become someone's friend until you actually get to know that individual. And once you know their values, and I go back to that again, what do they value? And, you know, again, they might just be better as acquaintances. Now, when people say define an acquaintance, I think that's somebody you know well enough to borrow money from but not well enough to lend it to.
That's actually profound.
If you want to know, if you want to know what acquaintance is, that's exactly what it is. So, so if you would borrow money from him but wouldn't lend it to him, then they're not your friend. All right.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah, it takes a true friend to lend you money. It really do. But, yeah.
No, it's a true friend if you're willing to lend them money. You understand?
Yeah.
But, yeah, exactly. So, you know, it becomes a little more deeper than that. I think we start, and of course, money and finance is social because a lot of it dictates our society in itself. So it's a very it's a good topic.
All right. So, Wayne, tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you.
Yes, they can reach me. My office is located at the Doubletree by Hilton on 1726 Ricestown Road in Pikesville, Maryland. The telephone number is 410-486-8867 or 410-336-2158. And I do meetings by appointment, so you could give me a call at any time, and we could schedule something. We even take appointments on weekends as well. So 410-486-8867 or 410-336-2158, Doubletree by Hilton, 1726 Ricestown Road, exit 20 off the 695 Beltway, suite number 215. And that's Wayne Wilkins with Primerica Financial Services.
All right. Thank you, Wayne. And Jermaine, tell us how our listeners can get in touch with you.
I'm Jermaine with Greater Financial Solutions. My number is 202-431-4739, and I'm available through appointment.
And Jermaine, you've got something going on in the community. Why don't you tell us about that?
I have a debt-free class going on up at Gwendolyn E. Cofield Community Center. It's in Silver Spring, 2450 Laytonsville Road in Silver Spring, Maryland. Everyone is welcome. Again, you can contact me if you're willing to come to the class at 202-431-4739 or through email, JermaineBailey71737@yahoo.com.
And where was that class at again?
2450 Laytonsville Road, Silver Spring, Maryland.
All right. Great.
And that's starting on September the 17th, 2015.
September
17th. And it's for 9 weeks until November the 12th.
Okay. It's going to run from what time to what?
From 7 to 8:30.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Arlene, did you have any final questions for our guests?
Yeah, I guess there was one final question, which is when is it that, you know, you feel that people should begin starting to plan for their future, their financial future?
Immediately.
Immediately.
Don't waste time, because time is your best friend. The more time you have on your side, the more opportunity for your money to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, yeah, I do have an email address as well.
Okay.
Harvey,
let us get that, Wayne.
W-W-I-L-K-I-N-S-J-R dot P as in Paul 9017 at Primerica.com. PRIMERICA.com.
All right. Wayne and Jermaine, you each got 30 seconds. What are your closing statements?
My closing statement is just to, as a couple, you have to start off communicating. Without communicating, you're not going to go far. Communicating is the key. Once you start communicating and relating to your money together, it will spread through your relationship like no other. You will have the best relationship ever. Just try it.
Thank you. Wayne?
I say have forethought. Use your better judgment. When you're not sure, give me a call. And live long, and may you live as long as you want, and may you want to as long as you live.
All right. Okay, thank you both. We appreciate having you here on One Love, One Connection, One Us. And hopefully we'll be hearing from you guys soon. All right, Arlene.
Thanks for having
me. You're welcome.
Thanks, Arlene.
We have something going on in the community. Why don't you share what we've got going on in the community?
Yes, on this, what is it, the 18th of this month from 12:30 until I think it's about 2:30, we are going to be having a workshop on the 5 steps to a better relationship. And we are going to give people, you know, if you find that your experiences in your relationships has not been working for you, we're going to give you the skills and strategies in order to make that process better. We're going to talk about relationship readiness as well as finding out whether or not that person that's sitting across from you at the dinner table, if it's at a dinner table, is the type of person that you eventually want to be with. And also what to do when you are actually in the relationship to make that whole process better. So please feel free to join us, and you can find out more about that on www.oneloveoneconnectiononeus.com, or you can give us a call at area code 240-343-2590. And Reverend Harvey, can you go ahead and give your number, please?
Sure, it's 410-687-0658. Again, that's 410-687-0658. And I want to remind you all to join us right here on the Family Healing Circle, where we have shows on Sunday, Monday, on Tuesday, Thursday, soon Friday. It's coming, everyone, Friday. Sexual Fitness and Health will be beginning in August on Fridays. And we've got Fashion Talk coming up real soon. So stay tuned. Stay with us here on One Love, One Connection, One Us. I'm Reverend Harvey L. Bailey. And Arlene?
And Reverend Arlene Cahet. We love you. We bless you. We appreciate you. We thank God for you. And we know that wherever you are, God is.
Have a wonderful day and a great weekend.
I don't just want to know about anything.